And now, our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your ears.
Previously in Deathstalker Honor.
Very well, Constance. A marriage shall be arranged between us.
It has been decided that we should appoint a constitutional monarch, Owen Deathstalker.
We have to go right now. We're needed on an urgent mission.
You're no fun anymore, Random.
Hello, Julian.
You're all I ever wanted. I would have laid down my life for you.
You were always too dangerous to be allowed to run free.
I've got a bomb in my belly.
I care about Evangeline. I'd die for her.
That's all you know about, Finley. Dying for someone is easy. Living for them is much harder.
I'm Evangeline Shrek. I'm here to see my father, Gregor.
So, you've come home to me at last. Don't you have a kiss for your dear daddy?
Apparently all hell is breaking out on Loki, and Parliament wants us there yesterday.
A temporary and strictly limited alliance with Shub is in everyone's best interests.
And who might this person be?
Who else but Lionstone? The AIs rescued my mind and brought me to Shub. I am metal now. I live in machines.
You'll get your chance at Valentine.
What do you want, Shrek?
I bedded her, Campbell, long before you ever did.
I'll kill you! Kill you!
I'm afraid I can't allow you to interfere, Finley. So I'm afraid you're going to have to die.
I don't have time for this. You hurt Evangeline. You're a murderer and a traitor, and a symbol of everything that's corrupt, in the families and in the Empire. The world will smell better when you're gone.
Graphic Audio presents Simon R. Green's Deathstalker Honor. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Anne Flosnick, Nick Sampson, Casey Jones, Ken Jackson, Kate Torrey, and Mort Shelby. Graphic Audio sound design by Dan Smith. And directed by Richard Rowan. Episode 5, Cry Havoc. Flynn the cameraman entered Toby Shrek's office at Imperial News headquarters and looked disparagingly about him as he pushed the door shut behind him with the heel of his boot. He was wearing standard work clothes, but hadn't been able to resist just a touch of mascara and blush.
You've had the place redecorated again, I see. I still don't like it. Really, Toby, all this high-tech and polished surfaces really isn't you. Though I hate to think what would be. What this place needs is the feminine touch. Before the style police turn up and firebomb it on mental health grounds, what this office cries out for are pleasant pastel colors and big bunches of flowers everywhere. Flowers help to make a room.
Toby sat hunched over the papers on his desk.
Oh, good. I'm behind in my work. The unions are making trouble again, and now you've turned up to irritate me. And don't you dare bring in any flowers. I'd end up with an office full of green fly. I'm no good with plants, Flynn, you know that. I only have to walk past a flower and it dies of neglect, just to spite me. I like my office fine just the way it is, thank you. It has every luxury and convenience money can buy, and my own private sauna. Upper management can't do enough to keep me happy these days. They're terrified someone's going to poach me away. They'd put a solid gold jacuzzi in here if I asked them. In fact, that's not a bad idea.
Yes, it is. I know you, Toby. You'd have platinum taps shaped like dolphins and bars of soap carved in amusing rude shapes, and you'd read all your visitors half-submerged in frothing waters. whether the jacuzzi was turned on or not. You have no taste, Toby.
None at all. A factor that has done much to aid my rapid rise to position, wealth, and fame. Anyway, you're hardly in a position to throw stones. If I let you loose in here, you'd cover the walls with hollows of big-eyed children and rush around putting doilies under everything.
And what's wrong with doilies? A little delicate lace can do wonders to cheer a room up.
What are you doing here, Flynn? The day's over. Work is done. Go home and annoy someone else.
I will if you will. It's late, Toby. I thought you might like a lift.
Thanks for the thought. But I still have half a ton of paperwork to wade through. You wouldn't believe what ends up on his desk. I swear, there are people in this building who couldn't take a dump after a vindaloo curry without the correct form signed by me. In triplicate. Oh, hell. Would you like some tea, Flynn? It's one of the few things they do right around here.
I wouldn't say no.
Miss Lovett, a cup of tea for Mr. Flynn, please.
Flynn raised a plucked eyebrow.
Since when are you so formal?
Expect it from the boss. I tried being relaxed and informal when I first moved in here, but it just made them uncomfortable. I suppose it's hard to be easy and spontaneous with someone who can fire your ass just because he came in with a headache that morning.
The door opened, and a young woman with hardly any dress on and quite an astounding amount of cleavage tottered in on impossibly high heels. She smiled widely at Flynn, displaying perfect teeth of dazzling brightness, and presented him with a steaming cup of tea.
Thank you, dear. Do you know, I just love your earrings. You must tell me where you found them.
You wear them to the office, Flynn, and you're fired. Thank you, Miss Lovett. That will be all for now.
Sure, Toby. I mean, Mr. Shrek.
The young lady heaved her cleavage in the direction of the door and tottered out again. Flynn looked at Toby.
She's my secretary. She takes dictation.
Yeah, I'll just bet she does.
All right, she's a bimbo. I admit it. I have someone else to do the actual secretarial work. Miss Lovett is more in the nature of an office ornament. Something I can use to distract the union bosses when they come in with their latest wage claim. Upper management gave it to me. They thought it might keep me in the office more. Truth be told, she gets on my nerves something fierce. She has no talent you can discuss in polite company, and a laugh that could strip the wallpaper and leave it crying its eyes out in a heap on the floor. Took me 2 weeks to train her to make a cup of tea. I'd fire her, but it would break her heart.
Life is tough at the top.
It is. All I want is to get some work done. Some real work. I ask upper management for more help, and what do they send me? Executive toys.
Toby gestured at a motley collection of metal and plastic junk on his desk.
Toys! I was bored with them after half an hour. I can't just sit around all day, Flynn, ticking the right boxes and signing where indicated, taking extra tea breaks and seeing how long it takes me to wreck the latest toy. It's not in my nature. I need to be doing something. I always thought that with this job's authority, I'd finally be able to cover the kind of important stories I'd always wanted to go after. But somehow, it never works out that way. I may be the boss here, but I still have to answer to my bosses, the rich and influential people who own Imperial News. And they'd be just as happy running a gossip show as long as it didn't affect profits. Every time I suggest a good target to go after, the word comes down from above, don't make waves. They were happy enough to take risks when they were only a minor company, desperate to do anything to grab viewing figures away from the big boys. But now they are one of the big boys. They've gone all nervous on me. They have something to lose these days. You know, Flynn, I should be happy. I've made it. I've got the job I always wanted. I run Imperial News. They don't even challenge my expenses anymore. But I am bored, Flynn. Terribly, mind-numbingly bored.
You know the answer, Chief. Do what you did the last time we had this conversation. Pick a story and cover it yourself. Get out in the field and see how close to the wind you can sail this time. I'm always available to be your cameraman, for the standard rates plus danger money.
I'd like to, Flynn, but... Ah, to hell with it. Stuff them all. If I stay in this room much longer, I'll start putting down roots. I can always leave my deputy in charge for a while. Not too bright and scared stiff of anyone who raises their voice to him, but I swear he actually likes shoveling papers. Come on, Flynn. Let's get a move on. We have a story to cover.
What? Right now? It's late, well past clocking off time. I was thinking of sometime tomorrow. Clarence will have a hot pot dinner waiting for me.
Tell him to stick it back in the oven. What I have in mind can't wait. There's a couple of targets I've been trying to get to for weeks, but my reporters keep being turned down and intimidated. Let's see what I can do. Barging in on them at this time of night might well catch them with their defenses down. And after everything I went through in the rebellion, they couldn't intimidate me with a point-blank disruptor cannon.
I have a terrible feeling I've started something that could only end in tears. Lead on, boss. Where are we going first?
To see the Speaker of Parliament, his own slippery self, Elias Bloody Gutman.